Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Christy. Thank you. You may be seated. And yes, we are praying for our guest minister today, and Marlene Kleps. And I think if I wrote in the FYI just a little bit about her life. If you haven't heard her story, I encourage you to pick up one of the sheets in the back that has the full testimony. You can also, I encourage you just to go online. How many of you have seen her story online, either with the 700 Club that did a great piece with it, or Sid Roth and others? Hopefully, you know, she's been here a number of times. I was thinking back, when did we first have Marlene? And the only way I could figure it out is how many vans I bought from her. And one of the first ones, it had to be about like 2009 or 10 that first time. So she's been coming here over 13 years, and we usually have her every year, sometimes more than that. Always brings a word of encouragement and power with her, and of course brings an anointing for healing and just the love of Christ that flows through her in so many ways. I look back and I thank you, Christy, for just sharing the importance of that testimony of the miracle of God working in our lives and transforming us day by day. That is the ultimate miracle and our salvation for sure. Amen. But when I look at Marlene's miracle, I'm just in total awe. You know, it's one of the greatest miracles that I had opportunity to. I wasn't there, but I see her now, and I know what it was. You know, I know where she was, and born with cerebral palsy. You know, pretty much that's just a death sentence in itself. And then, you know, her parents being killed when she was 1 year old, and just into the foster parents and foster care system, and just dealing with that disability all through those years, and until that time in 1981 where God touched her, transformed, gave her a vision. The miracle of that vision, exactly who was going to bring the healing, where it was going to take place, how it was going to take place, and be able to walk back into Mayo Clinic and say, here I am. And it's like, whoa, that is just such a powerful thing. Do it again, Lord. That's what we were saying, Lord. That's that song was for today. Do it again today. But may our hearts be prepared to receive the miracle that God has for you and you and you today by just receiving the word that is on Marlene's heart. So would you please just welcome Marlene Kleps to her stand today.
There you go. Thank you. Praise you, Jesus. I love you guys. I love the Lord, and I love you. And I love life, and I love what God's doing. Oh, isn't he good? And Jethro, you are going to find out that you heard from God. 10 days ago, they were standing in our flower shop, and he said, what are you going to talk on? And I said, I don't know. I got this thing thinking in my head, and it has to do with the Word and the Spirit. And you can ask them if that's not exactly what we said. I have concerns, and before I give my concern, it's not a deep concern because God has an answer. But before I give my concern, I haven't been in church since this happened. But Thursday evening, I got home from the flower shop, and I got a text. And the text was from somebody I'm actually related to. He's my fourth cousin. Doesn't mean that we have spent all that much time together because there's, you know, fourth cousin. Although I was raised by my great-grandparents, so there's a little bit more connection there than they would normally be. But over the last 2 years, this gentleman and I had heard from a Christmas card that he had stage 4 lung cancer. Anyway, the first Sunday in June this year, we had our first reunion since COVID. I go to that reunion because, well, first of all, I'm raised by my great-grandparents, and it's all my great-grandma's sisters, all their nieces. So, you know, it's that. So anyway, But I knew that I was going for this guy, and I just kept praying he'd show up. And he got there late, and he's sitting back a ways, and somebody says, or to greets him, and he goes, "That's why I came." And he pointed to me. And it's not that he really knows me. It's because in 1981, I got healed of cerebral palsy because God's so amazing. And maybe this family's not living from the Lord, but they know in their heritage there's something there. There's something. Does that make sense? I'm not saying I'm the only one that prayed for this guy. I'm not saying that medical science wasn't a blessing to him. I'm not saying any of that. But Tuesday evening, I get a text from him, and for the first time in 3 years, he's cancer-free. I'm intentionally telling you this because we are to connect with people. Don't keep yourself, and you might have to connect in a different way. So be it. Do it. I mean, we might even have to connect in a way so everybody feels comfortable. I don't care. Do it. There's something there. There's life there. Now, what we were talking about 10 days ago when they came to my shop, and by the way, I'm very honored that you came. I'm very honored that you came, and we talked about this. I have a concern, and this is my concern. It's twofold. We're not seeing enough people healed. I've been saying that for years. And every little bit, I get another little piece. Because it's finished where Jesus is concerned. He's finished. Amen. He's finished. So somewhere, we're not finished. Does that make sense? The enemy does not have any new tricks. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His endurance is the same. His strength is the same. But the enemy is not creative. So what's the difference between today and yesterday? The difference is the enemy's not playing with the same person he played with a few years ago. We're growing in the Lord, and we've got to keep going. But my concern was we need more healing. And the other concern that I truthfully have, and we're going to talk about this today, is somewhere we need to be reaching people that we're not even touching. One-on-one. And we're going to talk about this, but if Jesus can go to the well, and the Samaritan lady, and we might not have an issue in our lives between Jew and Samaritan. But maybe it's Democrat and Republican. I'm not saying anymore. I'm not even trying to be political. I'm just only saying to you that we've gotten in our corners intentionally. We have to more than pray for them. We have to so love them that we go to where they are and we bring them what they need and we embrace them because Jesus has a plan for them in 22 that is so amazingly great. You see, they're on the earth right now. They're on the earth right now. Because our Heavenly Father, through His Son Jesus, He's endorsed a future for them to not only be in the kingdom, but to be part of the kingdom that is gleaning in the harvest. That's why they're on the earth. And if we don't look at them like that, we're not thinking like our Father thinks. So I went to the Lord. I don't have all the answers. I only have a little nugget. But what I said to them is, you see, we have people that are so, they're confessing all the right things. But somehow there's not life in it because it's not getting the response they should have out of what they're confessing. See, Jesus said it's finished, did he not? Yes. It is finished. He said it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It really was done. He knew it was 100% done. There wasn't another percentage to be done. It was done. In going to the Lord, and several years ago, he said, and I might have spoken this here because it was profound to me when he said it, but several years ago, I remember him actually, and he was talking to me about what he was talking to me about at the time was, how come we always want to hear a new word from the Lord, but we don't want to be obedient to the ones we already know we're to be doing? As if that's going to bring something different. But he was talking to me about that. And this is what he said to me in talking to me about that. That's not my subject for today, but I want to use what he said to me. He said, Marlene, if the fear of the Lord, and I'm going to use the word reverence here because he's not wanting me to be scared of him. Do you understand? More honestly, I need to use the word awe of the Lord. If our awe of the Lord or reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then Marlene, in order for you to grow in wisdom, you have to grow in respect and honor to Him, or you can't grow in wisdom. If it's the beginning, it's also all the way through it. And if I don't have more reverence, if my life is not walking out something now that it wasn't walking out before, then I'm not truly growing in wisdom. I might have some knowledge about something, but I'm not walking in wisdom because it literally is attached to it. There's no way. Does that make sense? So Holy Spirit, the only reason you'd want us to be in more awe of you, God, is you have more of you to give. And we have more changing to do. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Obviously, Jesus was a young man here, assuming like 12 years old. But it says he increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God. Now, I think this is so amazing. First of all, I think that there's a reason that they're in this order. Wisdom, stature, favor with God. Luke 2:52. You see, I think we somehow have got one little thing that needs to change. Just because I'm a child of God, he was the Son of God, and just because he was the Son of God, he wasn't at the place he should always be just because he was a son. He had to grow in it. If he had to grow in it, we have to grow in it. He grew in wisdom. So he even became more awed by his father than he was before. And he responded to that awe by his actions even more later than he did at the beginning. Does that make sense? And then out of that, he got more stature. That means he carried more weight. He carried more weight in the kingdom as it went along. It wasn't like one day he figured out he was the Son of God, so he had all authority. And so it's not one day you and I get born again and we have all authority. We're going to heaven. But as we grow in this thing, it changes the weight that we carry. There's a reason that the spirit of the enemy, not God, said, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but who are you? They said all the right things, but their life wasn't that life. Who are you? What's your stature? Where are you at? And we keep growing. And out of that, we get more favor. Out of that, we get more things we shouldn't ever get. We walk in areas we shouldn't ever be able to walk in. But because of the goodness of God, something changes. Does that make sense? But you see, what my concern is, I'm realizing by the Spirit and the Word that sometimes we have the right word, but we're not walking rightly in our spirit, so we truthfully can't carry more stature than we could carry back there. But just because we have a new word, we think we can. Is that making sense? But I'm not saying this to criticize anybody. I'm telling you this because God's got a plan, and he's got a plan endorsed with grace for us to walk in something greater than what we're walking in, to change the tension between what God says and what's happening in our lives. Does that make sense? He has a plan. He has a future. Luke 18. I actually use this a lot for prayer, but not for what I'm about to right now. But I realized, do you ever wake up and part of a verse just keeps rattling through your head? And you realize there's another little nugget in there that you haven't been using. You've been using it for something totally different, but that's not what God's trying to say right now. Luke 18, verse 1. And you realize that the disciples have asked him to teach them to pray. You realize that, right? They wanted to know. There's an art to this. It's not just communication and nothing else, or you wouldn't need to be taught. They already knew how to talk. So there's more to it than that. And he spoke to them in a parable, and it says, men, that means human beings like you and me, always ought to pray and not lose heart. So what I got out of this years ago is that I'm losing heart. I might have thought I prayed. I might have even went to the Lord with all the right scriptures. But if I still have a heart that's not in the right place, I haven't prayed yet. If my heart isn't filled with hope and faith, I haven't prayed yet. If my heart is still in gloom and still concerned, I haven't prayed yet. Lose heart. David said he would have quit, he would have stopped, he would have been done if he hadn't have believed to see. So he believed he was going to experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, not in heaven, in the land of the living. If he hadn't have believed he was going to see it, that he was actually going to experience it, he would have been done a long time ago. And he would have been done because he knew who he was. Not because he knew who the Lord was or knew who his Father was. When he knew who the Father was, he kept going. But when he looked at himself of who he was and how, you know, how he was, I don't need to go into what he did. We've all done things we regret, and we just hope the whole world doesn't know. But God does. And he says, let's go, let's go. There's something more here. Back to Luke 18. Men ought to always pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city. This isn't every city. It says a certain city. So I'm going to just say this. I didn't get this until this week after I spoke to you. But if it's a certain city, every single city is not like this. There was a certain city. And the judge who did not fear God nor regard men. That's the sentence I've been waking up with this sentence. And I didn't realize it, but I knew we had an issue because I've always been enticed with the lady at the well, but I knew we weren't living that out, but I didn't know how. I didn't know how to change it to where I could connect with people that weren't like me enough that I could bring them hope because Jesus so cares about them that I want to care about them, and just my experience with them would change the hope in their life. I don't need to say anything about what you're doing wrong. I need to bring you what will bring you the strength to do what's right. I might need to verify that I know so you think I'm not overlooking it so that you have hope that things can change. At least, you know, you might need to know that I know so that you have a hope. Do you understand? But I don't need to bring you 1 ounce of condemnation. You condemn yourself enough. You don't need it from anywhere. But you need to know you're so valued because God's got a plan from you, plan for you in 2022. We might be worlds apart in how we've lived, but what's going to change you and change me isn't anything any different. The same thing's going to change both of us. The very same thing's going to change both of us. But it says here that if I don't have regard for men, if I might have enough regard that I have empathy or I just wish things were different, but I don't have the strength or the character to do what needs to happen in that, what's the difference? Fear God and have regard for men. So my relationship with the Lord will change how I regard people. It will literally change how I don't look at things as us and them. It's never been us and them. It's never been that. It's not even reality. And now she went in. Now, there was a widow in that city. There was a person in need in that city. And she came to the unjust judge. And she's asking for justice for her adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards, he even said to himself, he knew this. He said within himself, he knew who he was. I knew who I am too. And he knew that he wasn't fearing God or having regard for men. Now, I might not have thought I wasn't fearing God, but I knew that I wasn't in the place I needed to be so that people could glean Jesus from me everywhere, even if those people were so different from me that I didn't know how to connect. But if I would give it a chance, Jesus would connect it. See, how I reverence the Lord makes a difference what kind of effect I have. I might be praying for my neighborhood and I might be praying for my street, but if I can't connect with them enough to even know what they need, I mean, you and I are seers. It doesn't take very much for God to show us what people need. We connect with the Spirit. We can easily see what people need. And a lot of those things we could easily solve. Thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be different. Thank you for being different in us so that we can be different. Thank you for such grace that we don't have to protect ourselves because whatever happens, even if it doesn't go right, you make up the difference, God. What difference does it make? You're so amazing. You're so amazing. You're so good. I was coming back. This has been several years ago. It was actually during the years I was flying. That hasn't been for a while, has it? But I had flown to New York, and we had done a meeting, and this was a crowd much bigger than I usually speak at, and the droves of people that had gotten healed was just unbelievable. I had never been in anything like it in my life. We had over 300 people saved in one meeting. I have no idea how many people got healed. I mean, it was just everywhere. But the person that was emceeing the meeting did something that I wouldn't have done, but I'm not saying at all that they were wrong, because it really did probably show something. But the next morning after this big meeting, I'm in the back behind the curtain, and they have these screens so you can see the audience and see what's happening. And he actually asked for a show of hands for everyone that had gotten healed the night before. And then he asked for anyone that did not receive their healing to stand up if they were able to stand. And there was something in my gut that just went nuts. And first of all, I had never been in a meeting with so many healings, so I should have been just like, woohoo! But instead, for some reason, it grieved me because I knew that I had never been in anything like it. And if everybody didn't get healed then, when was it going to happen? Because I knew that was the plan of Jesus, and he didn't pick me and choose me, and he wasn't beaten for just, you know, for 90% of those people and left 10%. I mean, he just wasn't, and it just wasn't fair to him. But more than that, it seemed like it wasn't fair to those people that had to admit that all these people got healed, and where am I? And I was flying home, and I'm sure people probably thought, what happened to her? Has she been to a funeral or what? Because I could not stop crying. And I just could not. I could not get it together. And I got home that night, and I couldn't get together anywhere because I just knew I had missed it. I knew I had been in the greatest move I had ever been in my life, and I missed it. And I was like, God, why? And he kept saying, having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And he'd almost not get that out for me to hear, and I'd say, why again? Because I was just, you know, I was just so worked up that I was a mess. Well, I realized I didn't even know where it was in the scripture. Isn't that sad? I thought I knew what it meant. I thought I knew what it meant because I thought it meant that we wanted to be the people that had the power and not with the people that didn't, and to keep ourselves. It didn't even mean that. It doesn't even say one thing about that. What I thought it meant didn't even fit. Go with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is what it says. I'm going to start in verse 1 and go to 5 to get to the verse. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure. Look at this. Rather than lovers of God, that was the sentence. I want you to get this. Lovers of pleasure. Now, that doesn't mean that it's wrong to have pleasure. That is not what I'm saying. But lovers of pleasure, then it says, rather than lovers of God. Having the form of godliness. How do we get it so it's not just a form? Lovers of God more than lovers of pleasure. That doesn't mean I'll never have pleasure, but that means, and I literally went to him. This has been several years ago, and I said, God, what do I do? Everybody thinks I'm the most boring human being. What do I do that I'm the most lover of pleasure? I don't like hobbies. It's the truth. I my favorite thing to do is sleep. And I said, God, what's that mean? And he said, when you protect yourself instead of allowing me to protect you. Lover of pleasure. Doing what's convenient. More than lover of God. That doesn't mean I don't do that. But there's a walk that I can have that would be to the point that whatever God, lover of God will be so much first that I won't have a form of godliness and that the power in which the power can't work fully through. What stops the power? Does that mean if I'm surrendered? It literally goes back. I didn't know this then. But in order for us to grow in wisdom, we have to grow in honoring our Father. We have to truthfully grow in obedience and surrender to Him. When He's the utmost all the time, that we're so surrendered that we no longer weigh the cost. You know, when a mom hears her child cry or something happens and it sounds like, you know, there's an urgent need, she doesn't stop and weigh the cost before she goes to check on him. And we shouldn't have to weigh the cost. We should be so connected that we just go. Does that make sense? It changes what the authority of God that walks in us, that is in us. Therefore, we won't be denying the power. You see, when I make a decision that I'm going to be, oh, I'll go 85%, that's more than everybody else goes anyway. What did I just do? I just made the power at 85%. Denying the power thereof. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you amazing? Aren't you amazing? Aren't you amazing? Colossians chapter 2. Now, we're finally getting to the very verse that this whole thought came to me a few weeks ago that I talked to them about 10 days ago. We're finally getting to the place where we were. This verse just kept going in me. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. In other words, and what he was talking to me about is, I don't want to think like everybody else thinks just because I trust them. Just because they're amazingly good people and I know that I can trust them, I don't want to just think like they think. I want to think like the Lord thinks. Does that make sense? There are so many amazing people that I want in my circle. I want them in my circle. I want to be connected with them. I never want to lose their connection. But the truth be known, we don't have to think alike. I don't want to get it just because that's how they think. So I'm assuming it's right. I don't want to be cheated out of something just because I just think what they think instead of going to the Lord on my own, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, according to our history of what's right and wrong. Does that make sense? You see, I think there's some things that are right now that we don't even know that are right. We think, and there's some things wrong that we just know we're doing, you know, we just will be dressed up in our best suit because we're doing the right thing. But the truth be known, the Lord would say, Marlene, that was for then, that's not for now. Now, that being said, it's not like he's saying to me, oh, be more carefree, don't do, you know. No, he's saying, follow me, stay connected with me. Love people. Love people. Love them, Marlene. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is not a new verse, verse 7. You see, he hides things for us, doesn't he? And the more we connect with him, the more these little tidbits that aren't even obvious, they're not hidden from us, they're hidden for us. They're hidden for us to glean. They've been saved for us as a treasure. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom of God. You see, the more we grow in wisdom, the more we grow in reverence to Him, and the more wisdom we get, the more I choose to surrender to Him. I'm just going to be really honest. The more I choose to surrender instead of putting off my surrender, the more hidden treasures that are going to be revealed so that they can actually be used to change our life on the earth and make it worth living. But as long as I put off the surrender that I've known I was supposed to do for, I'm putting off those hidden nuggets that other people don't get. It's not like, they're not worse people. They're our brothers and sisters. But we get these little nuggets that make our life so much more valuable. They change the value of our life, not just for us, but for those that are around us. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, ordained before the ages of our glory. It's been there since the beginning of time. This isn't something new. This has been there the whole time. It is written, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, what has entered into the heart of a man, the things which God has prepared for those that love him. That's those people that I can go visit that are so different than me. You have no idea what he's prepared for you. I'm so sorry. You. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you guys, think about this a minute. Think about this. God, you're so good. You see, the Holy Spirit, it wasn't just given to us so that we could enjoy it. I love the presence. Do you not love the presence? I think we could be addicted to it. And easily. I love the presence. I love the Holy Spirit. But he didn't give it to us just for that. I believe he gave us the Word and the Spirit to change everything. Genesis chapter 1, and then we're going to go back to John and talk about the Holy Spirit a minute. But what it says, the Spirit without form or void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep. But look at this. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was connected, and he said. How many times do we say things without being connected with the Spirit? I think there's something huge here. And I think our words need to mean something. And I'm not going to get into this fully, but, you know, Ananias and Sapphira died because they lied. Peter lied and he was alive. But Ananias and Sapphira were connected in a spirit that hadn't been on the earth in that measure before. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 14. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he, the Holy Spirit, he will teach us all things. 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 And he will bring all things to your remembrance that he said to you. And he doesn't just bring everything to my remembrance just because he's the Holy Spirit and I'm a child of God. He brings to my remembrance those things that I've had communication with him about that he has said to me. It's not like there's a spirit and I'm the child of God, so I automatically know everything. No, he brings to my remembrance what he's already said. Does that make sense? In other words, what I've already communicated with him about and spent time with him about, when I need it, he brings it back up. That when the deep connects with the deep, he brings back up what's been connected. He brings to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace will I leave with you. Peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Who gets to choose if it's afraid? It's our choice if we connect or we stay afraid, is it not? John chapter 4, when Jesus went to the well, after that well scene where he told her all her story in two sentences, which is just amazing. It just means that's what she identified with her. She said, he told me my life story, but he said two sentences. What it means is that's how she identified herself. And he knew it. And she goes into the city, and she's already evangelizing, and he was so truthful. You know, we don't have to be politically correct. We just have to be so loving that people want to hear it and not judgmental. He wasn't condemning her. He was bringing her hope. There was no condemnation. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He wanted her to be the next great evangelist. immediately. Because she goes straight into the city. She didn't even have to go through a step program. I'm not really trying to be funny. I'm just realizing when we walk, you know why people have to go through all these programs? Because you and I are not walking in the authority we need to be walking in to change them that fast. Because if we were walking in what they needed to have, they wouldn't need that. They'd be the different person that could go straight to the man and get him to come hear him. He's so amazing. He's just so good. But verse 23, this is after all this has happened. And Jesus actually says this, the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's no way to worship him without worshiping him with the whole of us, with the spirit. For the Father is seeking true worshipers. I mean, he's literally seeking those that worship him in spirit and in truth. Romans 8, you see, there's all of us will be, for as many that are led by the Spirit of God, how many are led, not were led, are led, for as many that are led, I need to put that in there. See, I have been led, but I am being led is a different story. There's a ranking in the spirit that's not like I stay, once I got there, I stay there. No, in the spirit, you have to commune with him. You have to stay connected with him. And as many that are led by the spirit, they are sons of God. For we did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear, but we received the spirit of adoption where we fit, we're identified, and we cry out because we're so connected with Abba Father. We're so connected with the Father that it changes who we are. And the Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit, and it connects, and we're children of God. And they don't say, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but who are you? There's a difference between just saying the right words. And sometimes we're so into saying the right words, we actually stop people and almost condemn them for saying something like, I'm blind. When it's more about, I'm not giving you permission just to say all the wrong words. That's not what I'm saying. But it's more about who we are when we're saying those words that brings a validity. Does that make sense? It brings something to the authority of what's being said. And they won't be saying, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but who are you? You're a son of God. You're being led by the Spirit, and things are changing. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, then we're heirs. And if we're heirs of God, we're joint heirs. We're joint heirs with Christ. My relationship... I realize I'm not there yet. I'm not trying to say that. But my relationship with my Father God should be to the place that it's the same as Jesus' relationship with the Father God. Peter's the one that figured that out. That just blows my brains. I mean, it makes no earthly sense to me, but it's a God fact. It's a kingdom fact. It's real. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, in the place that they prayed, where they were assembled together, that doesn't mean they just had a gathering and they all came in and sat down and prayed. Where they assembled together is like when you put together a bike or a swing set or you put together all the pieces, you're assembled. And that means I'm more with you than I ever would be without you. I'm a piece without you, but when I have all these pieces, we put together something that is so much grander than we would ever put together without it. And when we're all in our positions to support one another, there's something amazing that happens when we pray, and that place is literally shaken. So I can't be my own island and be who God's called me to be. There isn't any way. Verse 32, and now the multitudes of those that believed were that they were in one heart, one soul. That doesn't mean they all thought exactly alike, but they were so for each other. They were so for God and each other that they weren't selfish. I mean, that's basically what that means. There wasn't self-motivation in this. Neither did anyone say that anyone of my things he possessed was his own. It was all about each other and the Christ. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord. It literally could be finished. It literally, Jesus said he was finished and he gave up his spirit. And that's why when we all connect like that, we give witness to the resurrection of the Lord. And great grace was upon them all. I want to take you to one more place. It's not even in my notes, but I've mentioned Peter. And it actually proves what I just took all this time to say. Isn't it sad? I could have just read one verse. Thank you, Jesus. Acts 10, verse 34. And Peter opened up his mouth, and he said, "In truth I perceive, God shows no partiality." He's starting to understand that God's no respecter of persons. "In truth I perceive," in not the New King James like this one, but in the regular King James, the word, it means that he's starting to have a sense with one or more of his senses, one or more of the five senses. "But God shows no partiality," but verse 35 has the "but" in it. This is what makes up the difference. "But in every nation..." So any human being that came from any place, any nation, it doesn't matter what your history is. We're not even just talking about nationality. We're talking about the history of even how what you've walked through, where you've been, what you've done with your life. "But in every nation, whosoever fears, reverence, awes him, and works of righteousness is accepted by him." Then Peter goes on and literally says himself, which is just amazing. Peter figured this out, verse 38, "And God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit." What's he saying? Peter's realizing that we'll get the same anointing that Jesus got. If we fear the Lord, if we reverence the Lord, if we're in awe of him like Jesus, if we keep growing in this with Jesus, we'll get the same thing that Jesus got. It blows my mind, but it is what he says, and it was Peter's shadow that was healing them all. It means that what overshadowed Peter was overshadowing those that were overshadowed by him. Does that make sense? Oh! Peter understood that. It wasn't about where Peter goofed up, where Peter got it right. It's not about where, Marlene, you goofed up and where you got it right. It's about where are you now with the Lord, and how in awe of you, of him, are you, and how, and are you surrendering all, or are you just deciding you're giving up to here because that's the place you want to be? And the Spirit and the Word said, "Come. Come." Holy Spirit, we know that you provided for us authority that we've had tastes of, but you've provided for us authority to literally change areas, change regions. I mean, you had the church of Ephesus. You had the church of this. I mean, we should have this church of Sedalia, and it should have all these other names under it. But the church of Sedalia was touched by the authority of God. Father, we choose, and we love you. Here you go, sir.
You keep it. Amen. Amen. I have Christy. Christy's coming up here, and she's just going to lead us in a course that basically the message is nothing else. Nothing else but you, Lord. You know, right now there may be some of you today, and I know some came, and I hope you did, came for receive a ministry of healing. And Marlene's going to take time here in a bit to do just that. But in regard to the message that was just spoken, you know, while we're singing this chorus, may it be so. May you examine your own heart. Lord, nothing else but you. Lord, that I would revere you and honor you and be at awe at who you are and your great love for us. While we're yet sinners, you know, Christ died for us. And what he wants to do in each of our lives. But even also as we're doing that, that should also be a time as we're singing this, nothing else, Lord. As you're, you know, sometimes we're just so focused on ourselves. Think about the other people in this congregation right now that need a touch of God. And just even now, as we're singing this, go ahead and pray for them. Intercede for them. Let us be of one heart, one mind, faithful to the Lord. It's also a time where I'm also going to pass an offering of plates around for just a love offering for Marlene and her ministry. As you well know, she travels, you know, around the United States, and price of gas has got really high. But she didn't come for that. And don't give thinking, well, man, if I give so much, then I'll give the opportunity to be healed better. All the wrong motive, all the wrong heart. Just give because you want to bless the Lord. You're thankful. Give it as a thank offering unto the Lord for Marlene, for her healing, for her ministry, for the goodness of God, for the goodness of God right now, for the word of God as proclaimed. Just give a thank offering to the Lord. And we'll just want to bless Marlene with that before she goes. Heavenly Father, even right now, we thank you. We thank you, O Lord, for the word that's been proclaimed. We thank you, O Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, O Lord, for revelation and the nuggets of truth that was brought to us today through your servant Marlene. And Father, as even we are now giving and blessing your name and blessing the work of Marlene, we ask, O Father, too, that you would work in our own hearts. That, Lord, we could come to this place today where we could say nothing else. Nothing else matters, Lord, but you. That you be highly exalted and lifted up and praised for your goodness and your mercy and your love for us and for each person here in this sanctuary and for each person in this community and around the world. Lord, it doesn't matter where they are. You love them. You have a desire, O Lord, to touch their hearts. And that, Lord, you are equipping us to be sent with that message of love and forgiveness, the message of the cross. May your name be praised in all of this. Amen. Amen.